I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Govind Jayaraman. What would you do if you all of a sudden found yourself financially down and out with a young family at home and with a failing business you thought was doing well until just that moment? Would you gather thousands of the top entrepreneurs, leaders, and difference makers in one place and ask them for their keys to success? Well, my guest Govind did that, sort of. He discovered, implemented, and now shares the lessons he learned, focused on a theme that leaves you, your team, and your audience with the ability to shift thinking and actually take action. He's a portfolio entrepreneur, a leader in many global communities, and has been described as a modern-day Napoleon Hill. Govind, welcome to the show.
David, I'm thrilled to be here.
So why do successful entrepreneurs owe it to future generations of entrepreneurs to pay forward their failures, not their successes?
Well, I think, first of all, to indicate that they're human. I think so many times we look at the veneer of success around some of the great leaders, and we think that that's what we have to emulate. But that's not what got them there. I mean, one of the things that I think we forget as leaders is that most of the time we have to remember that we need a team. And the team feels truly validated when they're actually helping someone. So imagine if you're beyond help, if you cannot be assisted in any way, shape, or form, what's the point in anybody surrounding themselves or surrounding you? And why surround yourself with anybody? You know, we gain and create innovation, realize that innovation through people as leaders. And that's a vital part of it. So making sure that we appear vulnerable and are vulnerable within our environment is a really critical fact. So the other side of it is it runs at odds, right? From the fearless leader, the stereotype that we have, that the leader is the person who flag unfurled, charges down the hill. That's just not the way it is in the real world. We need to be able to relate to the people around us. And as successful entrepreneurs, we need to send the elevator back down and help people who are trying to do the same thing and create the next great innovation.
Yeah, this also reminds me, Govind, of something that Jim Collins wrote a long time ago, which is get the right people on the bus first and then figure out where the bus is going.
Yeah, you know, I think that is a great way to help you figure out where the bus is going. And it may have worked much better in the past, when people were, let's say, a little less transient in employment and that kind of stuff. I think it's really important for leaders to determine focus first. So I think that there's an external and internal journey of focus that leaders, and I mean the really exponential leaders, I don't mean the people who are able just to make a good living and grow at 2 to 5%. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the people who start movements. I'm talking about the people whose organizations routinely grow in the double digits. I'm talking about people who change the way we look at the world. Those people, those leaders, routinely have uncommon focus, and those turn into uncommon results. So it really begins internally with your own level of focus.
Mm. And in order to get that kind of focus and to be able to be the kind of leader that you've just described, what have you found? Because I know you spent a lot of time gathering information about what has made people successful. What have you found to be the best source of help for people that are trying to gain the focus, create the great team, and have that geometric or exponential rate of success?
I think that, first of all, the best way for people to do that is to understand that they have the ability to do that, right? I mean, whether you think you can solve a problem or you think you can't, either way, you're right. And if you don't believe that you have the ability to solve it on your own, like in your mind, in your mindset, so if you don't approach it from a mindset that's strong and capable and open. And open in the sense that, you know, I'm not saying that you should continue digging the hole when you find yourself in one, because I mean, that would have put me in really great peril a few years ago. What I'm saying is stop digging, but also change your perspective, change the way you look at the world. And that starts with your mindset. So when you change the way you look at the world you look at changes. And that is vital. So where do you start with that? you start focusing on mindset tools. And it sounds like motherhood and apple pie. It sounds soft skills. It sounds, you know, when I talk about the soft stuff, when I talk about the 12 inches between your ears, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of leaders, a lot of people who believe themselves to be change makers, you know, say, ah, I got that stuff. But do you really? What's your morning routine look like? How do you guarantee that you're going to make today great? And I don't mean have a great day because things worked out and you caught the green lights on the way to work. I mean, make it a great day. That despite whatever comes to you. And here's the thing. Life is hard. Business is hard. And leadership is even harder, especially if you really seek to be that transformational kind of leader where the people around you will say that they did it on their own. You know, even your ego gets beaten up as part of that. So the way you put yourself in position for that is to set yourself up and guarantee that you're going to make it a great day. So what does that routine look like? What's the first thing you're reaching for in the morning? Are you reaching for the person you love most? Are you reaching for your cell phone? Are you reaching for the thing that distracts you? Or are you reaching for or toward the thing that's going to give you energy for the day? What does that look like? How do you protect that space? So those are the kinds of questions that great leaders ask themselves in the mornings. How do I take my morning game another 1% higher? And it sounds crazy, David, but it can start as easily with the first thing you do when you wake up is not to reach for your cell phone, but it's to reach for a book. The first thing you do when you wake up is not to reach for your cell phone, but maybe you take care of your health. Maybe you accelerate some momentum by going and working out or even just walking in the morning.
You know, I've heard this from many, many of my guests on this podcast, those people that I would characterize as being the kinds of leaders that you've just described, have a very clear, structured routine that is focused on getting centered, getting energy. Often there's physical and a spiritual routine that are part of their early morning.
Absolutely.
And that comes first before any kinds of distractions that are imposed from the outside.
Yeah. And you know, here's the thing. Simple and easy are inversely correlated in every way except for their effectiveness, right? We've got to keep, you know, this is a very simple process. And it starts, so when you talked about it, their morning is about focusing on focus. Focus is a muscle. And initially, I took someone else's prescription for what that looked like. And that was where I started. I started on 10 minutes of reading great thoughts, 10 minutes of thinking great thoughts, and 10 minutes of writing great thoughts before I hit the floor. And that changed my life. You know, that changed my mindset because every morning, before I did anything else, I had 30 minutes on greatness, 30 minutes on possibility, 30 minutes mapping out what I thought the world could look like, right? And then I got into my day. It put me in a position where my bank was full, my buckets of energy were full before I dealt with anything else that came my way. I focused on focus, and then I took that game up. And then I took that game up further and further and further. And it gets to the point where for some of us, as you mentioned, we're comparing notes about our morning routines. I thought that I had a really great morning routine until I recently spoke to the CEO of a company that changed the face of, you know, his industry that he was operating in. And now he's on to another one. And he told me his routine starts between 2:30 and 4:30 in the morning. Well, when does that really start? I mean, David, that's a question that you really need to think about. When you have that level of focus to your morning routine, when does it really start? Does it start in the morning? Or does it start somewhere around 5 o'clock the day before? And that's the power of this. When you make a decision, you're no longer making choices between good and bad every single day. You've set yourself up in a direction, a trajectory that's going to put you exactly where you need to be, and it's a guarantee. So when you show up ready to go.
All right. So having great focus and great energy at the beginning of the day is really important. Govind, what have you learned about how we learn best and how we get help most effectively and grow as individuals and leaders?
Well, I mean, I think I did this wrong for half my entrepreneurial journey, and I started to do it better a little bit later on. Initially, David, I want to tell you that I thought that the best way to do this is to read books, to observe what I can from the vantage point that I had as a, you know, it's lonely at the top leader. I was the leader at the top of my organization. And what that meant to me was that I had to I had to make a decision in a silo. I would ingest the information around me. I was very participative. I thought I was asking questions of everybody, but then I'd make the decision. Instead of later on, I learned by being a part of peer mentorship groups and peer coaching groups, I found out that no, in fact, the best way to learn is through the stories and experiences of others. And if you could get, and really my focus became, if I could get in a place where I was ingesting or able to absorb the wisdom of other people who were living the lives or accomplishing the things that I wanted to accomplish, I could pull my own future into the present. And I also understood that they didn't get it right at the gate. They made it bad and made it better. That was their philosophy all the time. Every single one of them knew that they weren't going to run home runs every single time. They spent a lot of time thinking about how they were going to set things up. So, you know, I built this model around what I learned, which is focus, alignment, and action. And this goes to your point earlier on that you got to get the good people on the bus. That's the alignment phase. And that's really the second step. You know, really the first step is focus. And the internal journey of focus is around what I call your secret weapon, your mindset, your focus, your spiritual setup for the day. The second part of that is where are you going? How are you going to get there? What does that look like? What are the twists and turns along the way? And I think one of the things that a lot of people have taught us to believe in is that we have to have contingency plans. Well, if you can plan for something that might be going wrong, then it should just be part of your plan, right? What's more important to understand is how are you going to measure your progress? And that's the internal journey again. How do I know? How do I set myself up in an environment that I'm open enough that I can hear when I'm off course and on course? And that's my internal playbook. And then the second step of that is your key players. So I'm going to say really clearly, you asked me about how do we learn? We learn from the experiences of others, but we can't just be sitting there and observing it without understanding where we want to go. It starts with focus, and then it goes to alignment. Then we can understand everything else. Otherwise, we're being somebody else and not being ourselves. And the trick is to be ourselves. And, you know, become who we really are. Become that leader that we need for ourselves, for everyone else. And that's more our most authentic and vulnerable place.
So in terms of practicality, if I spend time getting myself focused on what it is I want to achieve and how I'm going to do it, then rather than reading books to learn the steps I need to take, what do you find are some of the best ways to get help?
The first best way to get help is to find someone who's doing exactly what you want to be doing. And I don't mean who did exactly what you want to be doing. I mean, who is doing exactly what you want to be doing. If you believe that you're a tech entrepreneur and you want to build an organization with 200 to 500 people and make a mark in either a segment or a niche of industry somewhere along the way, well, then focus on that. Find someone who is doing that right now, not later, not someone who's done it in the past, but someone who's doing it right now, and seek to learn from them. If you're looking to build a family business which takes care of your lifestyle, and you don't really have aspirations for changing an industry, but you want to live a comfortable lifestyle that affords you the flexibility to be with your family, then find someone who's doing that right now and pull your future in by emulating and learning from them. Learn from their stories. Design your path based on the stories that you hear of the people who are living the lives that you want to live in the present tense. Your future tense is their present tense. It's really dangerous that this coaching industry right now that's out there, and you and I talked about that before coming on the line a little bit, it has a lot to do with, here's my resume. And I want you guys to think about this. Everybody who's listening, think about this for a second. And David, you tell me, if you've hired and employed people before, how many times have you looked at a resume, hired somebody, and their experience that they wrote down was bang on right away what you expected from that resume? No one exaggerates on a resume, right? David, right? Everybody does. And it's the same thing with coaches. People are talking about their past as if they've done all these great things. It's about the present, right? It's about being it. We need to be who we want to be. We don't have to wait. We can become that now. And the way to do that, the way to feel empowered to do that, is to surround ourselves with people who are that right now.
Yeah. So Govind, we did talk a little bit before we started recording this episode about the coaching industry and how there seems to be an explosion of people who call themselves coaches. And at the same time, I think there has also been a big increase in the number of people who either are entrepreneurs or maybe have some kind of entrepreneurial aspect to the way they run their business or professional lives. Employment has changed a lot in the last decade, and people really need to take charge of their employment in a very different way than they may have done certainly a generation ago, and I would say even a decade ago. So the idea of being able to take charge of yourself is a really fundamental one. And on the other hand, there are so many people now that are offering solutions through coaching. I wonder if you could talk a little more about what that means, what might be working if you're trying to get help from somebody else, and what's not working, and maybe some potential solutions for our listeners.
So I'll tell you, you know, I think that many coaches who may not be themselves great coaches adopt a great coaching structure. And the coaching structure is really what propels people through success, as opposed to the coach themselves. You know, in the book I wrote, Paper Napkin Wisdom, I talked about how people actually achieve way more. And, you know, we all understand, and David, you know this and get this, as someone who's obviously had goals, that when you have a goal in your heart versus having a goal and writing it down, the people who write down the goal are more successful than the people who just have it in their heart, right?
Right.
And you'd agree with that. So right. There was some research done some time ago, and they found that if you wrote down your goal, and if you're already someone who is a solid, a high performance individual, and you wrote down your goal versus just holding your heart, you were 36.7% more likely to accomplish the goal. And so sometimes the coaches that are out there employ a structure where you've got to write down what you're doing, and they'll check in with you every 2 weeks to a month, depending upon the structure and the affordability of it all. They'll loosely ask you what you're doing to move forward to your goals. And that's a good way to start to get to that 36.7%. And that sounds familiar to most of the people listening, right? I mean, yeah, I have a bunch of goals, and when I write them down, I get some of them done, not all of them, and certainly not the really big ones, the ones that I really want to done. Something happens to get in the way. And the reason for that is that there's another part, another piece in the structure that really works well. And here's the interesting part, is when you have a goal, write it down and provide weekly progress reports. And I mean weekly progress reports to a group of peers. So again, here's a critical element. It's someone you're volunteering to be accountable to, and you don't have to be accountable to them. Now, your coach that you hire, they're on your payroll. You are paying them, whether you're paying $50, $100, or $10,000 a month, you are paying them, right? You are volunteering to pay them to be your coach. So it's volunteered accountability to a group of peers. When you're in that group, you accomplish 76.7% of your goals. It's incredible, right? You know, and the data is very clear on this. And what this flies in the face of is all the previous coaching and you know, consultants, you know, coaches used to be called consultants. Now they're called coaches because there's a little less accountability. Consultants are, you consult with me and I'll tell you what to do and here's how you do it. Coaches, if you fail, it's your fault. It's not the coach's fault, right? You're responsible for everything. They're just there to be your coach, whatever that means. But on the other hand, you surround yourself with a group of peers that you have this volunteered accountability to. And you also set some really clear guidelines around SMART goals. And you've heard of SMART goals before, David, I'm sure.
Specific. Oh, yeah.
Measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-bound. And I'm going to say that right now, the time-bound is the enemy of innovation. Because here's what it looks like. And David, tell me if this sounds familiar. You're going to set a goal, which usually involves that you're going to set a goal and make it specific, measurable, actionable, realistic about something that you've never done before. Whether it's creation of something, whether it's achieving a financial goal, it's something that you haven't done. You don't put in your goals stuff that you did 5 years ago. That's easy. You can just do that stuff. People put in their goals that I'm going to have 1,000 new customers. I'm going to have this new business launched. I'm going to do these things that I've never done before. And I'm going to put a time-bound nature on it. Well, the problem is we get close to that timeline and we think that we're a failure because we're the one who missed on the SMART goals. And this is the point about peers. If we're around other people who have created innovation in the world, other leaders who've done what we want to do, whether that's socially or otherwise, they'll admit to us that they had to make it better too, that they had to just make it, and then they made it better. And the time-bound nature is only that they felt their own internal pressure to make this better faster, right? They needed to make it better. Maybe they had a fear of failure. Maybe they couldn't fail because they were at the end of their rope financially, like I was. Maybe it was one of those things. But the reality is, ultimately, it comes down it's transparency and teams around the time that is most important. So change the T to transparency teams, that you're transparently showing up to a team of people that you're volunteering accountability with on a weekly basis, and you're showing up with problems, right, or progress. If you're not creating problems in your pursuit of your goal on a weekly basis, identifying them, and then relying on your peer group that you're volunteering accountability with, right, and saying, help me solve this problem, help me with the benefit of your perspective so I can break through this plateau, to use your terminology, you're not doing anything. You're nowhere. And that's the bottom line. You need specific, measurable, actionable, realistic things that you can accomplish, that you report to transparently, which means you show up with problems, right, to a group of people that you're volunteering accountability to. That's your team. And you do that every single week. That one thing, if all you do is add that to your life, you will accomplish way more than everybody else around you.
For people that are not yet in a peer support community like this, what do you think are some of the easiest ways to find one that will work?
Oh, it's never been easier, David. I mean, when I started in my business, you know, now 27 years ago, I got lucky. You know, I started a student painting franchise and we were in our peer group automatically. It was all another group of students who were in this painting franchise, student painters. And it's turned into Student Works here in Canada. But the reality here for me is you can do this so easily today, because through Facebook and other forms of social media, it's easy to find people. You know, when I started to do the Paper Napkin Wisdom, because I wanted to focus on the greatness, and I wanted to learn the stories, you know, that you talked about off the introduction, that were going to save my business, my family life, and possibly even my life. And I needed to think about where I was going to find those. I needed to find them for people that were way outside of my sphere. And today, you can find out who those people are, and you can tweet them. You can find out who those people are, and you can send them direct messages. You can send them emails. You can send them, if their email boxes and their Twitter boxes are full, you know, there's this old school thing where you go and put a stamp on the corner of a page and send it off. Their mailboxes are empty. You can reach out to these people. You know, I know people who have met the likes of Bill Gates and Warren Buffett by sending them letters. You can meet anybody you want to in this world. This world, this globe is so accessible to those who act, right? But you have to act in a manner that's consistent with your focus. You have to be focused. You have to be worth the time that somebody else is going to spend with you. Be focused. Don't be all over the world. Don't be all over the map. Know what you want. Be specific in your ask. If you show up, courage shows up. And that's contagious. Everybody loves that stuff. And if you are for others what you need most in your life, you're going to help the person that's actually helping you. And that's the best part about it.
Now, Govan, going back to a peer support group for a minute, finding people that may fit the criteria of being your peers, yes, they're out there, and yes, our modern methods of communication make it easier to find people than ever before. What kind of structure is needed in order to create the kind of accountability that you've described that will yield to being able to achieve 76% of your goals?
Well, I think I mapped that out a little bit earlier on. You need to have, in a perfect world, you have volunteered accountability to a group of peers, people who have no stick of accountability over you, but you are volunteering accountability to. It's a weekly relationship in an ideal world. But, you know, there's other ways to achieve this too. You know, there are organizations out there, and there are mentorship organizations out there, which you can find online and you can find in other places, in which you can set up that kind of relationship. You can look, you know, within a couple degrees of separation from yourself, within LinkedIn, again, other than social media, and find people who are doing what you want to be doing, and ask them to be your mentor. Now, mentorship looks a little bit differently, because it's not necessarily that same relationship where it's peer accountability, where people are actually sharing their progress. There's a common cliche out there that we become the average of the five people that we spend the most time with out there. And whether that's science or not, I don't know. But pull the future in by surrounding yourself by people who are going to pull you up, right? And the other thing is, David, a lot of people lack the confidence to take that first step out and ask for help. And, you know, it's really strange and really interesting that the way you develop that confidence muscle for that thing is to help others. And who are you to help? Who are you not to? And by helping other people, you develop the confidence and find the lane for the leader you are meant to be. You just need to be that today. Find opportunities to practice that focus, and focusing on other people could put you in the position to focus on yourself.
Yeah, those are really great tips. And yes, asking for help is really critical. And being in a position to help others is also part of the process.
And we're all in that position. Somewhere listening right now is someone saying, oh my gosh, I am in so much trouble right now. How could I possibly help anybody? Right? Or I'm stuck. I have no ability to help anybody. That much I know. And I can guarantee you right now, there's somebody anonymously outside that's trying to cross the street and they can't lift the bags they're carrying. There's someone that's trying to get into a vehicle and can't do it. There's someone who just needs a little bit of encouragement. The best way we can help is actually the way that we can generate the most practice on that focus muscle, and that's to listen. You know, to truly listen, not hold space enough in a conversation that you can talk again, not that kind of listening, right? But I mean, truly listening to somebody, truly reminding someone else that you believe in them. These are zero cost ways for you to practice your focus muscle and help someone in the present tense right now. And by doing that, you build the confidence to then go. That's part of that internal journey of focus that I talked about earlier on. And uncommon focus leads to uncommon results. And the process is, again, focus, align, act. You got to make it bad, make it better. The way you do it today is not going to be the way you did it before. Off the top, David, you said something about you having like 250, 270 podcasts. Have you gone back and listened to number one recently?
I have, actually.
Right? Like, think about yourself back then. How much have you learned? How much have you applied as you've gone along the way? How much have you found of yourself? And this is the interesting thing. You spoke to a number of people, 200 other people, and you found yourself by helping others.
It's very true.
That's all it takes.
And doing so in a structure helps.
Structure sets you free.
Yes.
Absolutely. Structure is the most important thing as part of it. You know, when we talked about the peer mentorship or the peer experience sharing relationship, that peer coaching relationship, that volunteered accountability, all we talked about was structure. Everything is structure. I know that my mother, if she ever listens to this, is laughing because she is as a teenager. When I was a teenager, it was like, I don't need structure. I don't need schedule. I don't need any of that stuff. But here I am, Mr. Structure. And the reason for that is because I know that structure sets me free. If I want freedom, I need structure because I need to show up predictably to those people who rely upon me.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Govan. Many people who are entrepreneurs are very resistant to structure, particularly structure imposed by other people. Yet they achieve their greatest success when they create a structure and they adhere to it.
Yeah, David, you know, one of the biggest problems that we have is that a lot of entrepreneurs are caught up in being rebels, rule breakers, renegades, and forget that once you've created an organization, there's some other titles that come along with the job other than entrepreneur. One of them is shareholder. Another one is CEO. Or president, or managing partner, or partner. And whatever the case is, those titles have real responsibilities, accountabilities to go along with it, right? And entrepreneur, well, the word is from the French entreprendre, which means to undertake a challenge, right? And I think that entrepreneurs end up just creating a bunch of challenges for themselves by breaking stuff that doesn't need to be broken, right? I think that to a certain degree, we need to remember that our job is to be predictable, to show up, to lift where we stand, help our people achieve, and be vulnerable and open to hearing what they have to say so that they can cover our blind spots. We can accept their help. Right? And we do that, you know, it's funny, the internal journey of action for an exponential entrepreneur, for a leader entrepreneur, for an entrepreneur who's trying to scale their company, that internal journey is being the heart for their organization, right? Showing up with a pulse on a regular basis. Feeding the organization, appreciating people so that they can appreciate value to the organization, getting out of the way of the important leaders in the organization. All of those things are so important. And if you do that, you get the results you want.
So, Govan, speaking of results, whom do you know personally who has been really great at achieving these kinds of results and thus smashing plateaus?
Well, my mentor is the person who taught me how to do 10-10-10, you know, 10 minutes of reading great thoughts, thinking great thoughts, and writing great thoughts. His name is Warren Rustand, and he's changed more industries and lives than anyone I know. He's a soulful, purposeful, intentional leader who I am very grateful to call a friend and mentor. Truly tremendous individual. So Warren is my gold standard for leadership. And when I talked off the top about pulling in that person into the present, right? Pulling in my future. So I often will think, right? What would Warren do right now in this situation? Because he is still that person today. He is still creating industries in his 70s. He's still being impactful. He's still the man who stands in front of a room full of 150 entrepreneurs and asks, what do you want to be remembered for? And he says that I love my family with a tear in his eye. Yeah, that's what you need to pull into the present. I want to be like Warren. So I hold him very close. And I hold him in my heart when I'm making difficult decisions.
And Govind, speaking of pulling things into the present, what does your future look like? And what do you think you're going to be pulling into the present over the next bit of time?
Great question. You know, I'm still committed to my companies. I have four independently run companies, and I love my teams in those organizations, and I'll continue to lead those organizations. And that's very important to me. One of those organizations now is Paper Napkin Wisdom, and I'm really excited about what's coming there. Paper Napkin Wisdom has been a very successful podcast and book now, which I co-wrote with Jack Daly, the famous business and sales leader that he is. So the two of us wrote this book, and it came out last year, became a bestseller, did very well. This year, I'll be writing another book, which will be out in the fall, hopefully, and it's almost complete. And also set to come is some really exciting stuff through Paper Napkin Wisdom, where we are supporting the internal and external journey along focus, alignment, and action in leaders, difference makers, and entrepreneurs around the world. And to that end, we've got a variety of different audio and visual products that are going to be available for free to help people through that journey.
That's great. And Govind, how can listeners follow you and learn more about you?
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at Govind. So that's G-O-V-I-N-D-H. Also, you can subscribe at papernapkinwisdom.com. And there are ebooks and all kinds of free stuff that you get on a monthly basis as being part of the subscription newsletter group there. More than 30,000 people already who have joined, and we'd love to have all of your listeners join as well.
Sounds great. Well, Govind, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Smashing the Plateau. It's been a really thought-provoking discussion about what it takes to deal with the loneliness that we face at the top and how to follow the three principles that you've described, focus, alignment, and action, in order to create not just small successes, but really profound successes over the course of our lives. So thanks so much for taking the time to talk about these things today. My guest today has been Govind Jayaraman, the curator of influence for Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thank you again, Govind, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.